This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It could be the end of an era, Tommy.
What's going away?
If you went to high school in the state of New York, this word, even as a grown-ass adult, will send a chill down your spine.
Oh, really?
It was the difference between weeks of summer school and time with your friends.
Yeah.
It was the difference between walking out that door your senior year or maybe having to come back as your friends moved on to college.
Ooh.
And next year,
yeah,
if this plan works, will be the last year that any high school kid in New York State will ever be forced to worry about.
So they're wiping this thing clean?
Not now. Okay, I'll explain.
All right.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5. WCMF, the class of 2027.
Yeah, getting a free ride.
Is expected to be the last high school class in New York State history that will need to pass a Regents exam to earn a high school diploma.
Nice.
So this is a test of, like, just to say you retained everything for school?
I'm going to tell you everything it is. You're stupid. You're such an idiot. I have the information.
I don't even think I took him one of these.
Retained? Yeah, because you didn't grow up in New York State, stupid.
No, but are these, do most states do this?
Oh, my God, I don't know. I will explain.
Right.
Okay. This news hit last week, and it's part of a five-year plan to rework graduation measures in the state. And before we get to the plan, for the few people who don't know or may not remember, the state mandated that you pass a math, science, English, foreign language, and history Regents exam to graduate from high school. And Kimmy, we had one every year, right? Was it like junior, senior year?
I want to say it was like maybe from like sophomore year. Did you? I can't remember. Either way.
You got to do foreign language?
Yeah, there's a lot of them. Yes. And every
that
kid.
Sucks.
Every
was
kid.
There,
or they suck.
Foreign language?
Too? Yeah, there was, yeah. Because you had the speaking part. The speaking Regents was like
that
the scariest part.
Of the Regents?
Yeah.
I thought that was just. I guess you're right. Yeah,
so,
it was one for everything.
It's the same test every kid in New York State took at the same time on the same day every single year. It was like a big freaking deal. And the idea behind it was to see if the school was teaching the kids what they needed to teach and how well the kids were retaining it.
All right, see if it worked.
It was a baseline for every school.
For like every school in the state.
Yes, in New York State. If you did not pass the exam, well, then you had to take it again. And you couldn't just take it the next day. Like we said, they had scheduled twice a year. Winter and springtime, Regents exams. And you had to take it over and over again until you passed. And if you did not pass,
you're out.
You didn't graduate high school.
Well, you could take it in the, so then were there was a third, because you could take it in the summer, too.
You're right. Spring, summer, and winter. Yeah. But if you didn't pass the test, you did not graduate high school.
You were toast.
It was the worst part of being a teenager in New York.
Well, you would graduate, but you'd graduate without Regents.
So that was a thing up until they mandated only a Regents diploma.
Gotcha. Yeah.
The pressure, Kimmy, was a nightmare. Those tests.
So then how does it work for kids then who go to... do the trades half of the school day? Because I don't think that they didn't, well, back then, they didn't take the Regents, I don't think.
Phone number's 252-WCMF. I know it changed along the way, because you're right. There was a time.
There was a time.
Thank you.
You had different, you could choose different paths.
You could get what was called a local diploma.
Right.
All right, so let me ask you a question.
Sure.
So you could get rid of all this, because you're saying it's hurting the kids.
Hold on. I'm going to get there. But Kimmy, I'm just trying to establish the severity of these tests.
My head hurts thinking about this.
Your whole future, getting out of high school, starting your life, rested on passing these tests.
And sometimes, I even remember with the math Regents specifically, like there would be one one math problem at the end of the test that counted for like 25% of the test. So if you got there and realized, oh, like I don't know how to do this, you were already screwed.
There was also those like two or three questions on every test where every kid in the state got it wrong.
Did they have like those trick ones?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Those suck. Okay. Just be straight with me, man.
So I'm going to ask this question. The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Is getting rid of a Regents diploma, the Regents to force you to pass the Regents to graduate high school, a good or a bad thing? And there are a few things you should know before you answer.
Right.
One, it doesn't look like you're getting rid of the exam. It's just not necessary to graduate. So we'll see where the kids fall in a year or two or whatever.
Yeah.
The state is also remaking graduation measures. As part of the plan, they're also, and I quote, adjusting credit requirements to graduate and broadening the skills and knowledge for students to need to graduate. And folks that are for getting rid of these tests say that it gives teachers a chance to dive deeper into the subjects that kids are learning and not continually do the same stuff over and over to make sure the kids pass these exams.
Like to pound it into their little heads.
And like Kimmy can back me up on this. The last month and a half to 2 months of every high school class you took was nothing but Regents review.
Like getting you ready for the test.
They started preparing you pretty early for those tests. Like they did not wait until crunch time to, you know, let you know what was coming.
So the reason they want to get rid of these tests is they're saying, like, you're losing 2 months of kids learning about history.
You're just doing a review.
You're just reviewing it because these schools are panicked. That if enough kids don't pass the Regents, we're going to lose funding, we're going to get fired, all of this stuff.
All right.
So with all of that being said, are you cool losing the measuring stick for every high school in New York State?
Because I'm torn between young high school Tommy and now cool, dapper old man Tommy.
When's he showing up?
Right now.
Okay.
Because I look like a guy that could pass that test right now.
No, you don't.
Because I do.
You look like a man who couldn't pass the test, so now he opened up an import clothing store that sells stuff that were actually made in, like, Bangladesh. What you were saying, I'm sorry.
I guess, how do you know how you're doing, though, if you don't test a kid?
So that's a good question.
Like, I understand, like, digging deeper into these subjects, but how do you know they're even retaining?
I mean, it's a good question.
I mean, if you're not retaining the stuff that I'm pounding into your head.
He's asking, what measuring stick would you use to see if the kids are retaining what they're being taught? Like, if you don't have a Regents, how do you compare schools?
Yeah, and comparing schools and making sure nobody's, you know, falling too far behind. I don't know.
Now, I will say this. Not every school. It was every public school in New York State had to take this. Private schools had the opportunity to opt out of the Regents.
Man, look at these rich kids getting off.
Now, McQuaid, I don't think, has taken Regents for years. When I was at Aquinas, we took Regents.
Because you were poor, because your dad didn't pay the bill?
I had to go take it myself. But a couple of years ago, they got rid of Regents as well. So with private schools, they weren't measured on the same level.
Right.
Do you get what I'm saying? So there were already schools that kids were going to that weren't using Regents as measuring stick.
But didn't that like hurt your chances of getting into school?
Like college?
Yeah.
Maybe the reputation of the private school made up for that.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know.
We
still took SATs and ACTs and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, Regents weren't.
Interesting.
No. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. All right.
Yeah.
So you said you're torn. I see you guys on Hold Sit Tight. You're torn between whatever Tommy you think you are today and high school Tommy.
Yeah.
So is it a good idea to get rid of the Regents exam?
Well, I've learned over my years to never listen to high school Tommy.
Okay.
So I am saying this doesn't sound like a good idea. Because you're not, there's no way of judging how you've done.
Okay.
And like when you go to work, every day at work's a goddamn test.
That's not true.
You test it every day.
Oh, my God. I hate. What are you going to do? You're going to hang a cat poster? Hang in there, baby, behind me, too. You want more motivational stuff?
I always loved that one, man.
Okay. So you're going to go old man here.
I'm just saying, like, because if our grades are slipping, and now you're telling me we're not even going to test to see how we're doing, that doesn't sound like a fix to me.
But, I mean, the argument can also be made the grades are slipping because the kids don't have the opportunity to fully engage in what they're learning because they have to review for a test for 2 months.
But they're not even retaining that.
I think there's a disconnect here.
I mean, do a lot of kids have trouble passing these tests?
It all depends on, you know, where you are.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much it's, maybe they've adjusted it quite a bit since we were in school. But I remember, like, every year there was always at least one Regents test where, like, the majority of kids who took it failed.
Yeah.
And they had to, like, adjust the whole test essentially to make it easier.
Yes, no, yeah, and they would have to grade it on
a curve.
So
I don't know what that does for anybody either.
So I think that, Tommy, you and I are proof that what they're trying to do here is a good thing.
All right.
And look, school is obviously important, right? You want kids to do well, learn discipline, be exposed. You want to be exposed to all the subjects, find out where their interests are, what they're good at.
But absolutely.
The fact of the matter is, not all kids are book smart in the same way. Some kids aren't book smart at all.
Well, that was us.
And they're not dumb. They just don't learn the way everyone else does.
Right.
And when you make this specific kind of test a requirement of graduation, it does kind of feel like you're hamstringing kids, some kids, of opportunities.
But isn't that life? Like, any job you get, they're not going to adjust for you. You're going to have to adjust for the company.
But counterpoint to that, I wouldn't go grab a job that I am not good at. For example, why should a kid who is not good in math and science or history be held behind when they could have an opportunity to start their life never using that skill ever again?
Right.
And I'm not saying let the kid skate on having to take the class. Take the class. But there are some kids that are great in certain subjects and terrible in others. And is that because they're lazy? Is it because their mind works differently?
Right, they ain't got the aptitude.
Should they have to take extra work, go to summer school, do these cram review sessions in a study area that they're not good at and will never use again?
Well, how about you do this? Because there's kids that are going to go to college and there's kids that ain't going to college.
Yeah.
So why not adjust those tests for those kids? Like, so if a kid knows he's going to go work at Wegmans or he's going to go into the trades.
Kids
or he's
don't
just
know.
Gonna go.
Again, like, you would have to make that decision, what, your sophomore year?
Well, they're
high
asking
school?
You to make that decision whether you want to go to college or not. Let's say college ain't on your horizon.
Okay.
Why don't you give that kid a different test than, like, college? Wise ass boy.
No, but you're going down a dangerous
right
road.
Right on his daddy's money.
You're going down a dangerous road here saying kids that can't do well on certain regions are dumb kids. And I'm trying to tell you that's not the case.
I'm not calling them dumb.
Really?
Well, you're saying give them a different test.
They're not going to college. They're going to go into the trades.
Okay, I don't need a language to go work at Wegmans.
Understood. I don't need a language to be.
Well, you may have had to stuck some of those.
To do
items.
Most things.
A scientist, yeah. Right? Like, look, what I'm saying is I got great grades in English, theology, and history because I really liked those subjects.
Yeah.
I went to summer school every year for science. I could not pass chemistry to save my life. I got by on the skin of my ass on that regions. I got like a 67 in the summer, and it's only because
well, bumped you up a few
exactly
because they didn't want to see you back.
Bingo.
I like my idea. Make the adjustments.
No, the point I'm making is I've never used chemistry for a second after the moment I got out of high school. So if I got that other exam that you're saying, I wouldn't have had the opportunity, not that I could have afforded it, to go to college if I wanted to go do that.
Mm.
Yeah, like I said, you're kind of forcing kids to make that decision pretty early on. Like, I don't know how many, if you ask the average high school sophomore what their plans are when they're 18, they probably have no freaking clue at
that
point.
Yeah, but they kind of know whether you got some college in you.
And if you give a 14, 15-year-old kid the option of taking an easier test, they might just go with that option because it's easier. Not necessarily because it has anything to do with their future.
All right, 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Folks have been waiting very patiently. I'm sorry, the phone lines are locked up. We're talking about how the class of 2027, high school in New York State, is expected to be the last high school class in the history of New York State that will need to pass Regents exams to earn a high school diploma. This is part of a, how do they put it? I had the quote here. I'm sorry. It's like a reimagining of how they're going to educate kids in New York State. And the argument from people that want this Regents exam gone is that the Regents exam actually hurts kids
holding your back
from learning because the last 2-3 months of school are being used for nothing but Regents cramming. Mm. 252-WCMF. Let's talk to Julie. Hey, Julie, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. What do you got for us?
Well, I'm thinking I'm old school like Tommy that, I graduated from New York State High School in the 80s. So we had choices back then. I don't know, what it's like now, but I got a Regents diploma and I got to choose the subjects that I had taken in Regents. Like in ninth grade, you take algebra. 10th grade, you take biology.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, yeah, just to be clear, now, Julie, at least the way it was when I was in high school, we had to get a Regents in all of those.
Yeah,
like the one you
get,
go ahead.
But it's different subjects, right? So you have algebra, then you have biology, then you have English, and then you have whatever. The
history, foreign language,
Yeah, foreign language. I didn't have to take a foreign language. I don't know why. I guess I didn't care.
Sweet.
We were in the Adirondacks, we just spoke.
So what's your point, though, Julie?
So I'm just saying that I think that it was a good test because when you got out, you had a Regents diploma. And so it did, like Tommy said, I think that it does make a good point that you can go to college or you can go to something.
All right, so what did you do? What did you do with your Regents diploma after?
Close the break room.
I went to college.
Okay, and like, what do you do now?
I'm a bus driver.
Okay.
So seriously, I didn't need it, but it was kind of a challenge. Oh, are you whistling?
I am whistling a little bit. I'm sorry. I'm just saying, Julie, no. Like, I mean, if you're going to – look, I get where you're coming from. I get that it's hard to shake out of this idea that I had to do it, so everyone else should have to do it. But, I mean, Julie, if you passed the Regents exam and you went to college and you got a degree, and driving a bus is a fantastic job, right? Yeah. Like, it's an honorable thing to do. You're making money. That's great. I'm just saying, you never had to use any of the stuff outside of college.
No, I didn't. But at least I had a choice. You know what I mean? I mean, I did go to college. I had a journalism degree. Journalism is not really what happened. So what I'm saying is, if you get all these, you know, various types of degree or, you know, classes, then you can make choices when you get out.
Okay. But I think Kimmy makes a good point. If you give a 14-year-old kid a choice, unless the parent steps in, they're going to take the path of least resistance.
But you get the choice year by year.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure. Julie,
class by class.
Step by step.
She's saying you're not limited in your options if you're taking all of these tests.
Gotcha.
Essentially, I think is what she's saying.
Okay. Julie.
Yes, because there's biology, there's science, English, math, all of it.
Julie, thank you for the call. Thank you, Julie. Bye. Have a good rest of the day. I have no idea what she's saying. Okay. I have no idea what she's trying to say.
I think what she was trying to say is it's important to take all these tests because you don't know what you're going to do, but at least like you're introduced to those things. I think that's what I took out of that.
But I get the idea of going to a class for that. I agree with her. Like, take the class, right? But look, I can tell you, most kids by sophomore year know what they're not good at. Most kids know what their skills are.
Right? Yeah, you're starting to get a little bit of a realistic view of, you know, I guess the real world.
Yeah, and I know that I have a science brain, I have an English brain, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. I know which way I want to go. I may not know what it is, but I know definitely what I am not good at. Oh, we got Facebook messages coming in. Instagram messages. Comes in from Nick. Nick says, most kids were exempt from Regents a few years due to COVID, and it really opened eyes to how useless they were. Working for a college now, many schools don't even look at Regents exams.
Oh, so it's pointless.
At least according to Nick.
So why didn't they just go back to the basic report card?
That's kind of what they're doing here.
So just whatever your grades are at the end of the year, that's your grade.
But look, I mean, I do agree with that point you made. Like, how do you know school by school?
How do you measure school versus school, yeah.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Let's talk to Braddy. Brad, how are you, buddy?
What's up, Duff? How are you?
Good, man. What do you got for us?
So what year did you graduate? 04 or 05?
04.
So you are the last class that had the option to take local or Regents.
Okay.
2005 was the very first class, which is the class I was in because I was a burnout. I was supposed to graduate the same year as you. we were required to take Regents. And 22 years later, they're deciding that they're not needed. To be honest with you, since I've graduated high school, I've never once been asked for a high school diploma in all the jobs I've ever worked.
Really?
Okay.
Not once.
All right. I mean, that's just it, right? Like, and that's like.
I thought most jobs required it.
No,
unless you're going to college and getting a job that requires a degree. I've never ever heard anybody been asked for a high school diploma or a college degree or anything, unless you're specifically going for something that you need a degree for.
But I mean, the problem with Brad's story here, and Brad, I appreciate it. Like, Brad could have gotten a high school diploma if they didn't mandate the test, which I mean, I guess in theory, to the face that Tommy's making.
Wait, I graduated. I got a high school diploma.
Okay, so you thought he didn't graduate from high school.
Well, it kind of sounded that way.
I don't know. I was basing it on your.
Because he said, like, nobody ever asked me for my high school diploma.
He's just saying nobody's ever requested it.
Yeah, I need to see it.
I was going to drop out at 16. My mom told me I couldn't graduate high school if I tried. I went to high school and didn't try and still graduated. So it's really not that hard.
Take that, Mom.
I did it anyways.
You guys have a great day.
Thanks, Brad. Have a good rest of the day. No, I mean, just I feel like getting rid of the Regents gives kids more options.
All right.
And by the way, I do want to be clear. Based on the story here, it doesn't seem like they're going to like eliminate the Regents. Kids will have the opportunity potentially to take it. And I want to be clear, too. None of this is a definite. It still has to be approved by the state, although the article does give the impression that getting rid of the Regents is just a formality.
Mm.
And I know it's easy to take shots at people who are going to change things. However, there is another program that has helped kids who just weren't great at traditional school that was also controversial when it started. And Kimmy touched on it a second ago. WMOCO, the BOCES program.
What the hell is that?
Okay, it's exactly what you were talking about, the trade.
Oh, okay.
It's BOCES. For those who don't know. Yeah. It gives high school kids a chance to learn a trade while in high school.
Yeah.
And it's picked up. The tab is picked up, I believe, by the school.
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. And these kids would get bused in the middle of the day from their high school. They would take some core classes, And they would go to a central location to learn things like mechanical skills, carpentry, welding, great electrician, idea. Cosmetology. And we're finding out that those kids did still have to take regions.
Yeah, yeah. I got a couple calls.
But there are people listening right now who gain the skills for well-paying jobs because of that.
Right.
And when Womoco first showed up, there were a lot of people that were saying, you're just taking the stupid kids, putting them aside so they're not hurting you in your test scores. And there are people that wouldn't be eating and feeding families and owning homes without those programs, right?
Great gigs.
So if you were going to make the same argument about Womoco that you're making about this, well, you're wrong about Womoco. You can say Womoco like this because you don't have to move your lips all that much. I didn't change your mind, did I?
No, I don't know what the alternative is. I've been out of school too long, and I never paid attention when I was in it.
All right, I guess the question is this, and we'll leave it with this question. You answer it yourself at your leisure. Do we send our kids to school to learn, or do we send our kids to school to pass tests? Because if it's the second one, you have to keep the regents. If it's the first one, the regents is hurting that.
Well, why do you go to school?
That's what I'm asking you.
To earn money.
Okay.
To learn it, to get enough in your head to put some money in your pocket. That's the whole gist of this.
I would argue you go to school to find your path.
Yeah, but your path better have some green at the end.
Sure.
Or else you're going to tank.
Okay.
You're going to be sitting around your house, listening to the goddamn break room, calling the place at 8:05 in the morning. You want that for your kid?
I am having such a hard time concentrating on the show because of that stupid outfit you're wearing. I can't. You look like the grandpa from Grumpy Old Men.
Well, that guy was hip.
Burgess Meredith.
Yeah. He's one of our greatest actors.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
'95-year-old Burgess Meredith.
He basically was the star of Rocky One.
He was. I can agree with
you. Yeah.
We are officially into the busy season.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly 2 weeks away from Thanksgiving. And with the long holiday road ahead of us,
yeah,
it seems we have made a decision. We'll go where our families are for celebrations.
Okay.
But after that, we ain't doing crap.
You mean those extended trips you have to do?
No. I'll explain.
All right.
You're hanging out at the break room. It's just Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Tommy?
Yeah.
More people than ever this year are going to do holidays with their families.
Okay.
More people than ever?
More people than ever. 80% of Americans say they'll be doing Thanksgiving dinner with the family. About 75% say they'll be doing Christmas with the family. And both of those numbers are higher than they were last year, which was higher than the year before that. It just keeps climbing.
Damn.
So it seems, Tommy, we are prioritizing family for the holiday season.
Well, that makes sense.
But after that,
yeah,
we're done.
What do you mean, done?
Fewer people say they will be going to Christmas parties, Friendsgiving celebrations, and New Year's Eve parties. In fact, Friendsgiving and New Year's Eve party attendance is cut in half compared to what people planned on doing last year.
Damn.
It was around 50% of people said they planned on going to those kind of celebrations.
Yeah.
This year, around between 25 and 30.
So, traditionally, one of the biggest bar nights of the year is that night before Thanksgiving, right?
Mm-hmm.
That the Wednesday night is
yes.
huge.
Yeah.
Is that down? Because that was like, bars made a lot of money the night before Thanksgiving.
I would imagine that hasn't changed. Why do you think that would have changed?
Well, because look.
Because everything else is down. Friendsgiving is basically you're hanging out with your friends getting drunk.
Yeah. And even New Year's Eve was always a big night for the bars. If one half of people that went out last year say they don't plan on doing it this year,
That's got to kill the bar business.
I mean, we'll see about the night before Thanksgiving, because that is more of an opportunity to see people.
It's kind of like a homecoming kind of thing.
Yeah, you're home from college or whatever.
Whereas like a New Year's Eve party, it's like, oh, do I really want to go hang out with Bill again? So you look at these numbers, it kind of feels like, Tommy, we'll do what we feel we have to do.
Which is the family.
But outside of that, leave us alone.
Yeah.
We don't want to spend time doing stuff that is not obligated.
So we're becoming less social.
Which is
because a lot of that is social outside of the family.
Well, there are two ways to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them are very Rochester. Either we really want to spend time with family because we love them and the holidays are a special time to share memories.
Yeah.
Right? Or we don't want to spend time with anyone, like you said, but if we don't go to a family or Thanksgiving or Christmas, it'll be a bigger pain in the ass hearing about it afterwards.
Yeah, because then you start looking like an isolated weirdo.
So which one is it? Do we love our families more than we love our friends? Or are we just going to these Thanksgivings and Christmases out of obligation?
It's obligation. It's got to be obligation.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Kimmy, what do you think?
I think it's mostly... I think it's always been kind of out of obligation for most people.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, because especially if you're... not somebody who sees your family all that often. Like you, this is like that one time a year we could check it off, right?
Okay.
Like, but it's scaling back every year. According
to I mean, the friends are scaling back. The family is increasing.
All right. But that might start also taking a dip at some point if you really don't want to be around people. So like 50 years from now, we could all be at Subway getting a turkey sub tray by ourselves and going home.
But could you argue, though, that now more than ever people are needing the help of family? When it comes to like maybe your parents watch your kids and think, you know what I mean? Like it could be out of obligation because it's like you keep very close ties to your family.
Well, you bring that up. I mean, lower Gen X, upper millennials are now what are called the sandwich generation. Are you guys familiar with that term?
No, what is it?
They have kids and they have, you know, aging parents.
You're taking care of your kids and your parents. Okay. So you're sandwiched in the middle. You're taking care of both sides. So I mean that could be something. But like if we look at it from a Rochester perspective, I would tend to agree with you guys, too, that this is obligation. But I can also admit that the three of us are social weirdos in this room.
Isolationists.
Yeah. That sounds way worse. Like,
but that's kind of what it is.
You'll pass the World War II Regents exam, exam with that. Rochester is a very family-oriented community. We've talked in the past about people that won't move to other sides of the county.
Oh, yeah.
Because their parents would be upset. You have a ton of people that bought homes down the street from their parents to be close.
Clingy, clingy.
I've heard that 75% of men in Webster are mama's boys.
Oh, yeah.
So it feels like, Tommy, those people actually want to spend time with their families during the holidays.
Or are they just a better bad choice?
But look, man, if you don't want to move away from your ma.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me you don't want to go to Thanksgiving? You don't want to go to Christmas?
Like,
we might be the Rochester standouts here.
All right. Because I'm thinking, like, if I was younger and, you know, I was single, I would have much rather go out than go to my parents or be with family. Because the going out part was way more fun than hanging out all day at the house.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. That's what's weird about this.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Like that we are prioritizing time with family for Thanksgiving and Christmas than we are going out and seeing our friends. It doesn't make sense.
Mm.
And like, you know, Kimmy, you said like visiting family that you don't see all that often so you can check the box off.
Yeah.
If you still have your parents here in town, aunts, uncles, siblings, whatever, you also may not have a choice. Because Rochester
is attending, you're saying?
Yeah, Rochester is such a small town city.
Yeah.
It's not like you would have a good excuse.
No, you have to go.
Yes.
Other
you
than substituting family for family. You know what I mean? Like, that's really the only way I think a family would understand if you didn't show up is if you said, well, you know, we have to go see, you know, so-and-so over here first, and then we'll stop by.
You also wouldn't have anywhere else to go.
Right.
Because, like, let's say you wanted to have a Thanksgiving meal with your friends instead of your family. Well, you would also then have to convince all of your friends to abandon their family.
And they're not.
So short of leaving town, or lying about leaving town and staying in your house for a few days, you have to go.
Yeah, which why these holidays are not fun. They're just not. Like, hey, got some time off? Go do these obligations and shut up.
Yeah, I mean, look, I agree with you there. But again, we could be the weird ones. We could be the ones that are the stick in the mud, ruin it for everybody else. I don't know. And I'll be honest with you, man. Mm-hmm. I am kind of envious of the folks that are like really looking forward to spending time with family.
Yeah.
No, you're not. No,
I guess because my family was such asses.
Well, like, do you ever get jealous of families that have like traditions where even if they said it out loud, it doesn't sound like you'd enjoy it? But then, like, if you've ever gone to one and like they, like, let's say they play a lot of games or something like that, but they all look like they're having fun.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, I sometimes I'm like, huh, it doesn't interest me, but. I mean, it does look like something that would be fun to be a part of.
I wish I was like you. I could play board games. Like, I
remember, like, there were some big families that would have these traditions that I'm like, I never had that, you know?
Well, you know, you bring up another interesting point that leads us down another road.
What's that?
As we talk about, again, a new study suggests that we are increasing our time with family around the holidays and slashing our time with friends. Again, 80% of Americans say they will do Thanksgiving with their family. 75% so they'll be doing Christmas dinner. It's the largest, since they've started recording this, percentage of Americans that will be time with family, spending time with family on the holidays. However, when it comes to New Year's Eve party attendance, Friendsgiving, those people that planned on doing that last year, it's been cut in half for this year. The best part of Christmas, Thanksgiving is being a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's really who it's for.
Okay. So, like, I have these very, very, the best memories of my life are on Christmas Eve, going to my grandmother's house, and you would walk in, and the presents would be completely endless under the tree.
Yeah.
And the food was amazing, and there was, like, little things that she would, like, do for us that was like, oh, my God, it was glorious. Like,
right.
Every year, I could not wait to get to
that.
But
that's what it should be.
Agreed. But here's the thing.
What?
If I decide, F this, I ain't going to see my family, or I ain't having my family over, my kids miss that. Because I think that with the get-togethers we have, my kids see what we do as that when I was a kid.
Mm.
So in saying, you know what, I don't want to do this, I'm being selfish.
Okay, I understand while your kids are little, having to do those things for the kids. But as the kids age and don't care, why are you still doing it?
Because it loops
back for a long time.
And it loops back around. Because eventually,
who are we looping to?
Eventually, probably, my kids will have kids. And they're going to not want to come spend time with me. But now my wife and I, we got an empty house.
It's like the mafia. Like, you can't get out.
It is.
You're Michael. Yeah.
They're kids.
They pull me back in.
And I'm going to go above and beyond for my grandkids if they eventually show up. So they're going to want to be there and do this stuff, right? So now my kids, my two daughters, who definitely.
It's such a racket. It is such a goddamn racket.
What do you want, man? I mean, it's part of, it's the American experience.
Yeah, it sucks.
Even though you don't want to do it as an adult, to your point, like, you still look back on those memories and you're happy you did it.
But it's so much work. Man, if you're hosting and you're spending and cleaning up and doing all, it's, but you're running a goddamn, you're running a party house.
The work sucks. The anxiety of different family members being together in the same room. I mean, it's just
like the conversations that are going to go sideways.
Yeah. I mean,
the people that can't handle their alcohol. Who's going to clog up the crapper?
When that karaoke machine comes out.
That's the worst invention of anything ever invented.
You know that happens at Pat's house every Christmas.
I know. Right? We were talking about it this morning off air.
My wife, on Christmas Eve, we host Christmas Eve. My wife loves doing karaoke.
See, but that, like, when I see that, I'm like, that kind of looks like fun. Like, I don't want to do karaoke, but it does look like you guys are having a good time.
Really? You want to hear my dad do Main Street?
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Down on Main Street. And then somebody goes for two songs and he jumps up there again and he does Brandy.
Oh, God.
He loves Brandy. And he puts, you know what he does? This is what really bothers me, right? Like, my dad thinks he should have been a rock star.
Right.
I'm not exaggerating.
Well, he kept the hair.
Isn't every dad?
So he'll get up and he'll sing Brandy, you know, the song about the sailor. Yeah. The Brandy, you're a fine girl. So he'll hold the mic like he's like a rock star, but he's like.
It's like the lead singer of Creed.
He's got a stance.
But no, his move is he moves his toe back and forth.
Yeah.
Brandy, you're a fine girl.
Well, you got to keep the beat.
No, man, pick a
thing. You don't really have to keep the beat.
You can't be rock star with jazz feet. Like, pick a side, man.
See this.
Either be Sammy Davis or be the lead singer from Creed. You can't be both at the same time.
The other family I've been to before that really sucks is the ones that think they can perform for you, like their kids and stuff. Like, the instruments come out.
Yeah.
And, like, if I walk into a house and I see a piano, I'm scared.
Oh, or an organ. Usually somebody can actually play.
I'm sure they can, but I don't want to listen to it.
Really?
It's amateur hour, man.
I was kind of impressed by the piano. Piano's one thing. Like, a flute, like a fourth grader playing a flute, it's a little different.
No, but it's weird that you have that take based on your family's Christmases.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time I walked into your mom's house on Christmas with an organ, she was thrilled. She wanted everything to do with my organ.
That was kind of cute when the
kids... A lot of bird stuff in that night. And by bird, I mean her.
Give that some space before I talk about children.
Oh, no. There was a lot of space in there, too. Hello.
You don't have to repeat it.
Oh, I didn't.
I don't mind like a little kid's performance. It kind of distracts the room. Like nobody. Okay. Now I don't have to talk to anybody for a while because I could just watch this kid sing to
Here's
us.
Here's the
for
problem with little
minutes.
Kid performance.
What?
It's cute when it starts.
Yeah.
They don't know when to stop.
It's a 12-minute song.
Yeah, and if you give them any attention, there's going to be four encores, man.
It's the American Pie of performances, right? You're getting in into Gotta Da Vida. Like, it's always the long, it's 14 minutes later. Okay.
And, you know, and the family's all glowing, so you got to sit there and fake glow on the kid.
You're right. I wouldn't glow on a kid. I wouldn't say that into a microphone. 252-WCMF. Let's take one call. Let's talk to Frankie. Frankie, how are you, buddy?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Hey,
good. Happy holidays to everybody.
Right,
you know, Tommy, I thought like you years ago.
You think you thought?
And, when I had my kids were little, and you know, I was divorced and with them. But the older I've gotten, the more I want to be with my kids, my grandkids, the family. I think you have to have kids of your own maybe to think a little bit different from the way you think. We get together all the time. My older daughter lives two blocks away from me. My younger daughter lives in Victor, about 20 minutes away from me. I just love...
You know we have airports, right?
With my kids, with my kid, pardon?
You know we have airports. You don't have to stick around all the time,
no,
man.
No, but I mean...
Go to Miami with the rest of the old farts.
No, it's more... I don't know. When you get older, you want to hang with your kids. At least I do. I
to a point.
Go out for dinner once a week.
Yeah, but wait. Oh my God!
You want to be with your kids. That's why you have them.
This is Kool-Aid drinking.
Tommy doesn't love anything, Frank. He doesn't get it.
I bet.
I understand that, I guess. But I make the coming up in Thanksgiving. I make stuffing. I make the best gall darn stuffing you ever ate in your life. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I'll tell you, it's and I make a turkey also. We have turkey wars.
Thank God you have that to go with the stuffing.
Yeah, it's fun. We have watch the ball games, and my grandkids are up and grown up and everything now. And you know, it's just it's a happy time, no matter how you feel during the year about stuff. This is the time to be together and love each other. And it's, I guess I'm an old poop with stuff like
that. No, you know what, Frank? That was beautiful.
Yeah, you're a beautiful man.
That was beautiful, Frank. I appreciate the call. Thank you.
I am a beautiful man.
Frank,
I'm a beautiful man.
Have a good...
Roll the joint and pass me. Roll the joint and pass me. Something else.
Frank, thanks for the call. But Frank, I got to let you go. Bye, Frank. That was beautiful, Frank.
That's what I want to sit next to.
He seems like a nice guy.
He does. I don't want to be around him for an
Frank
hour.
I believe Frank when he says that.
I'm sure he believes it, but...
No, I believe it.
Can I time out real quick? Did anybody just see Scott Spisano walk by with a giant tree?
No.
Okay, yes. I'm sorry. Okay, yes. I thought I was having a stroke. Sorry. I was like, what?
I didn't see that.
Yeah, he did walk by with a big ass tree.
Okay, all right. I was making sure.
Don't know why.
Okay, great. All right, let's take a break. I'm sorry to cut that off. This really happens?
I don't know.
This really happens, Kimmy, in real life?
I guess. It was... When I read the headline, I was like, oh, no.
So what'd they find?
If you're of a certain age and you saw this headline that happened in Mendon Ponds Park yesterday, it immediately took you back to the most traumatic part of your childhood.
Really?
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. So as we told you, this happened in Mendon Ponds Park yesterday. The Honeywell Falls Fire Department were called for reports of a horse stuck in the mud.
Oh.
Its front legs and one hind leg were locked in the ground.
Poor thing,
and it was deep in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And it took several hours to get the horse free.
Yeah, because you got to be careful with the legs.
You got it. Thank you.
You got to get it in there with a shovel.
Equine Tommy. You have a jacket for it.
Mm.
They had to use a rope system. And after a few hours, they were able to get it out, and it was able to walk off on its own. When asked how they got there, fire officials said there are plenty of horse trails in the area. But this isn't like a
wandering.
It's not a wild horse, right?
Right, but you said it was really muddy.
Yeah,
it hasn't even rained.
Well, it is a wet area.
Maybe got by the water.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
So what is this got to do with y'all's childhood?
If you are of a certain age, when you saw this story yesterday, the first thing you thought of, Kimmy,
the movie. The Never-Ending Story.
And the most emotionally damaging movie scene.
It has to be top three most, like, what the F movie scenes in children's movie history.
So it's like a cartoon?
Nope, it was a live action movie. Now, yeah. I mean, it's like a fantasy movie.
Yeah, like a Disney movie.
Just
yeah.
like, just overall depressing, sad.
All right, so I'll spare you the whole story.
So what happened
the whole
to the thing. Horse?
But there's one scene where the Atreyu, right? That was yeah. the name of the kid. He's on this journey, and he's got this horse named
Artax.
Thank you.
Thank yeah. you.
They're trying to get through this, is it the Bog of Sadness or
yeah,
something like that?
Like
well,
that.
You shouldn't go
yeah.
right in the Bog of Sadness.
Had to go through the Bog
read
of Sadness.
The signs,
well, we know that
man.
Now.
So they're walking through this mud.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Atak, what was it?
The horse gets stuck.
The horse gets stuck, and the horse dies.
It goes into the mud?
It's this long, drawn-out scene where the kid is yelling the horse's name, saying, come on, move out. Like, he's trying to get him to get out of the mud, and he's failing miserably. And you're just slowly watching this horse sink to its death into the mud.
And the scene comes out of nowhere.
Yes.
It comes out, like, it's like this visually stunning movie, yes. right? Great thing. Like, it's a kid's movie. And all of a sudden,
we get a dead horse on our hands.
You're in the Bog of Sadness.
No, not
thank
just
you.
Because here's the thing. If they just shot the horse in the head, it would have been sad. But it's like, okay, that was over. It's this, like Kimmy said,
slow.
Drawn out, slow, painful
like
ass.
Quicksand.
Kids yes. crying, yelling. Like, what
is this
the
a kid's
hell,
movie?
Man?
I'm getting
yes,
emotional.
That's what I mean. Like, that's like the first memory I think I have as a kid of being like, wow, this is really messed up.
Because I remember my nieces used to sing that song.
From the Never Ending Story?
Yeah, Never Ending Story. They used to sing that stuff all the time. I've never seen a movie, but I know that verse.
Yeah, bro, it's one of if you watch just the scene, you will, even you, the monster you are, will get emotional.
Oh.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Is the horse drowning in the Never-Ending Story the most devastating kids movie scene of all time?
Oh, no.
What is it?
Oh, it's got to be Old Yeller. I mean, I'm going way back.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
The kid's got to go shoot his dog.
Yeah.
But they don't show the dog getting shot.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Not the most.
Well, don't you hear the gunshot?
Yeah, like you see, they did that thing back in the old days where you see the dog, he's got the rifle, you hear the shot, you hear the yelp, and then he's walking away. So, yeah, you don't see him actually drop him like it's Private Ryan. Like, the dog's looking for its paw.
Why?
It's like, or Casino. Where's my money?
No, but like, okay, yeah, you're right. I remember watching that the first time, and it was emotionally devastating. But you didn't watch this long, drawn-out death scene of Old Yeller. It's not like they, like, slowly killed Old Yeller.
It is weird when they have kids' movies where they put this stuff in. Because I remember, was it Finding Emo, the fish.
Finding Emo is, it was every kid's search for the best band that sang like this in the early 2000s. Finding Nemo.
Was that the fish one?
Yeah.
So I remember like people taking, because I remember people were calling in on the old show pissed off because they took their kids to see that movie and the mother fish dies at the beginning of the movie.
Wait,
and
again,
Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
But you don't see the mother fish.
No,
die.
But like, it's not a great way to kick off a movie with your dead mom.
It's also Bambi.
Bambi, I mean, these are terrible stories.
Somebody also brought up The Lion King, the Mufasa scene.
Yeah, because you also didn't see that coming either.
That's pretty
so the
traumatic.
Dad dies.
Dad
right?
dies, yeah. Gets, spoiler alert, everybody.
Yeah, through a stampede.
And you watch the whole thing happen. Now, here's the thing. You know, you brought up Finding Nemo. I think every single Pixar movie has an emotionally devastating scene. There, you brought up Finding Nemo, mom dies. Kimmy, there's that scene in the beginning of the movie Up where you watch the old man's wife slowly
going through
die.
The progression
that's the one where he has
life,
the house that floats around?
You got
well,
it.
Yeah, and she also can't. She, like, miscarries, I think.
Yeah, there's a miscarriage in the first 2 minutes
so
of a children's Pixar movie.
Did they say that?
No, but it's, like,
it's
implied.
Yes. Yeah.
I guess as a kid, maybe you wouldn't pick that up.
Yeah.
But
no,
by,
they might have questions.
But by far,
yeah,
the most devastating movie scene, maybe outside of the Never-Ending Story, as we talk about this horse getting stuck in the mud at Mended Ponds Park yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Forget that story. We're now devastating childhood moments. There's a movie called Inside Out, and maybe you've seen the commercials. It's about the emotions like a teenage girl goes through, and they like control her body and all this stuff. So they're in this girl's brain, these emotions, and they're trying to like make her happy again. So in this girl's brain, they run into this imaginary character she had called Bing Bong. He's like at the nose of an elephant, and he's fun, and he does like that.
Okay.
Long story short, Bing Bong, the imaginary friend, has to sacrifice himself for the sake of the happiness of this girl.
So he's got to lay down on the sword?
He dies.
Oh.
He dies.
In her head.
And I will tell you this, man. Yeah. I took my kids to see Inside Out, and at this point, I'm a 34-year-old man.
Yeah.
I do not cry.
I got goosebumps.
I never cry at anything. I bawled my eyes out at the death of Bing Bong.
You're not kidding.
Inside Out.
It's very emotional.
It is devastating because you're pulling for Bing Bong.
Yeah, and he says, like, take care of, what, I forget the girl's name. Yeah, at the end, and you're just, oh my God.
I'm getting emotional now. Because, no, like, it even tricks the other person, like, thinking, like, okay, I'm coming with you. And then she turns around and he's not there. And he's made the decision, like, no! No! Bing Bong! And I'm not ashamed. I'll admit, I bawled my eyes out in that movie theater.
There's got to be a reason why they do this. They got to insert all this, like, adult crap into these fun little stories for kids.
I find that Pixar in particular, like, they really tried to make a good crossover movie that both kids and adults get something out of.
Yeah, give me a little death, kid.
And with the exception of Cars, they do a great job. But here's what it is. With the NeverEnding Story, with Bambi, with Old Yeller, with the Pixar movies, those movies last a lifetime in your head.
Oh, sure.
Because it's the first time you're feeling those emotions.
Yeah, and you don't realize that this stuff is could happen to you.
Yeah.
All right.
252 WCMF. Let's talk to Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy. How are you, buddy?
I am so glad that you brought up Bing Bong, because I thought I was the only one. The worst part about that scene is that you know what's going to happen before it actually happens, because the build-up to it, you're like, son of a bitch. He's going to sacrifice himself for the better good. So I had tears rolling down my face, but the end of that movie where she finally breaks down, forget it.
Yeah.
You're inconsolable as a parent.
No.
You're like, son of a bitch, you know? So I'm glad you brought it up. It's funny that I've seen The NeverEnding Story 1,000 times, and I guess that scene never affected me that much. I guess I just took it as the part of the movie, but God damn, Inside Out is one of the saddest movies I've ever seen.
So, like, Jeremy brings up... I'm sorry, Jeremy. I'm just to catch Tommy up real quick. Ahead. I don't mean to cut you off. So it's all about the emotions of becoming a teenage girl, right? So at the end, her family moves. She's, you know, she hates her parents. Everything's changed, and she's going to run away. She's going to run away. And she gets on a bus, and all of a sudden, everything gets good again because the things in her head fix her. And she runs home to her parents, and she just breaks down in tears. Right. And Jeremy, having raised teenage kids, and me currently raising teenage kids, he's right. It's that moment, like, oh my God, what I would give it right now. She did it. She did it, Jeremy. She did it. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, the end of it is because you're feeling the hopelessness because you're watching a child break down and you can't do anything about it, right?
Yep.
It's because it's all her emotions. And you're just sitting there like, well, I can't do anything. I just have to let her go through this crappy point in her life.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
She ends up in Congress.
Anyway, to turn it around and make a little bit – yeah. Make it a little bit happier. Tommy with that stupid hat this morning.
So you don't like Ireland?
So small, he looks like he should be standing on a corner. Now, shut up. Don't interrupt me. Standing on the corner going, extra, extra, read all about it. I used to work with weed. Not anymore.
Thanks, Jeremy. There goes Bing Bong loving Jeremy. Let's take one more call, 252-WCMF. Again, talking about this horse that got stuck in the mud in Mended Ponds, which has unlocked a whole bunch of traumatic childhood movie memories. Jay's got the last word. Hey, Jay. How are you, buddy?
Hey. What about the scene from My Girl where the girl's best friend gets killed by the bee?
Oh, he needs his glasses. Do you remember
that? Yeah, but it's Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, but
I think we were all done with that kid at this point.
For God's sake.
Sting that child.
Why? Why?
Jesus.
No, again, to Jay's point.
So, yeah, the kid dies, and then she's got to deal with the death
of the kid. Alert, but it's also
Does he die early in the movie or later?
No, it's at the end.
Towards the end.
But you don't see it coming, Jay, to your point. You think it's like a coming of age, like kids movie, and all of a sudden the kid's dead.
Yeah, it hits you from the side. You have no idea it's coming. And suddenly they're putting in this horrible scene to put an emotional tie to the end of the movie.
Well, look, if you want to feel better about that scene, Jay, go watch The Death of Bing Bong on YouTube. That'll really mess up. All right.
All right.
Jay, thanks for the call.
So a lot of people thought that movie was basically a ploy to get people to buy EpiPens. Like it was a complete conspiracy. They wrote that movie to get people to buy EpiPens.
What did that hat do to your head?
And it worked.
It made a tinfoil.
It worked.
What did that
Look at the spike
your...
of the purchase of EpiPens when that movie
well,
was
released.
Well, I guess
it would be a good thing then if it brought awareness to like
allergies. That's the only reason they made that movie.
That is not the only reason they made that movie.
It is because people weren't believing it.
How do you explain My Girl 2 then?
Wait, they made a sequel?
Yeah, they did. It was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Well,
she started dating then?
A kid with a seafood allergy.
Mr. Peanut, what happened?
Who told you they made my girl just to sell EpiPens?
That was a conspiracy.
Who told you that? Who told you
I
that?
Think it was going around.
Who told you that?
They were out there saying.
You're the dumbest person I've ever met. They made my girl only to sell EpiPens.
Think about it, bro.
Shut up.
Think about it.
You what? Don't think people saw the bee and they got scared now?
Let's take a break. Let's take a break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.